Welcome to Accept Your Gifts, the 22-minute podcast for inspiring your most creative life. My name is Tracy Crow. I'm an author, writing coach, and Marine Corps veteran. I'm looking forward to co-creating today's show with you. So if you're ready, are you ready? I'm ready. So if you're ready to live a more creative, more magical life, let's get started. My special guest this week is Amanda Riley Sayer. Amanda is a pediatric psychiatry nurse practitioner. She's also an artist, photographer, and writer. My path first crossed Amanda's last summer when we met at a retreat in Boone, North Carolina, when she later posted a photo of a painting inspired by the landscape and energy of our retreat experience. I quickly signed up for a print, as did so many others who had shared the experience with us. And later, when I discovered Amanda's blog, titled Painting Poetry in Motion, that includes her paintings, photographs, and poetry, I just knew I had to know more about what inspires this amazing creative soul.
Amanda, thank you so much for joining us today on Accept Your Gifts.
It's really an honor to be here, Tracy. I'm really looking forward to our conversation.
Thank you. I am too. It's so good to see you too. At least I get to see you through Zoom anyway. So that's always fun. Listen, I've already told our listeners a little bit about your background as a pediatric psychiatric nurse, but I haven't described your artwork. So could you take a moment and just paint a mental picture for our listeners about your artwork?
Well, sure. I'll do my best. So my primary medium has been watercolor, although I've more recently been dabbling with acrylic paints. And I would say that maybe it's helpful if I use the most common descriptors for my paintings seem to be things like soothing, things like calming. And so I would describe them maybe as abstract landscapes would be, you know, one descriptor. But if you might imagine that they're something close to a seascape often, which you probably would recognize, you know, if you looked at it, you would think that might be the ocean, although many of them you might think are also the mountains. So again, there's that abstract component to it. They're partially representational. But I think there's a soothing quality to them, and I think that has to do with, particularly with watercolor, the blending of the paints and the flowing of the paints. So usually there's some sort of horizon line, and that's, I think, what helps you see that there's sort of a sky and sort of a ground. But what that ground is, I think, is open to interpretation.
I love that.
So I think it's more like a feel than an actual, you know, I mean, I do paint things sometimes that are representational, like that's a boat, you know, that's a lighthouse. But I think more often they are, it's more painting an expression of emotion or feeling.
Well, I can attest to the calming and the soothing because I've seen your work and I own a piece of your work, and it is just that. I keep it right there in my writing cave because it is. It's so soothing. The way that you're blending these colors and these shapes together, it's just very calming and soothing. So, and I'll be sure that our listeners can go to our podcast website and see some examples of your work because no doubt, they'll agree. Now listen, you've got this amazing blog, and I want to talk about this because of the way that you're blending your artwork with poetry. And on your blog, which is called Painting Poetry in Motion. Would you tell us first where that comes from, where that title comes from?
Well, you know, it's funny. Creating a blog was a fairly impulsive thing. And, you know, there's a little bit of a story behind it, but that's not answering your question. So we may get to that or we may not. The title for the blog, though, was just really something that came to me. I kept hearing in my head, you know, poetry in motion, poetry in motion. Now, there is a song. It's actually a rap song of all things. You know, I'm like 50 years old. I'm like quoting a rap song. But there's a line in it that says poetry in motion, and then it goes on along. But I kept hearing that lyric in my head. And so, you know, that's not as an expression I made up, but the painting poetry in motion, what struck me about it is I intended the blog to be both a vehicle for sharing paintings and written work, primarily poetry. And I thought, well, that works because it describes what I hope to bring, but also poetry in motion, that expression means beauty. And so this idea of painting beauty or creating beauty in the world, either through visual images or words, that was something that resonated for me as really the intention for the blog, if that makes sense.
It does. And it's interesting that you talk about motion, because now that you mention that, every bit of your artwork that I've witnessed and seen, it does have motion. There is unmistakable motion to all of that. Is that conscious?
I don't think it's conscious, but I see it too. I see it too. I think, but it makes sense to me that it would be, you know, if I can do it well, which sometimes I do it better than others. But it makes sense to me because what I'm most aware of when I'm creating, particularly a painting, is that I'm more or less aligned with a flow state that's beyond thinking. It's not intellectual. And, you know, writing is much more of an intellectual exercise for me often. And what painting has been for me, actually through my whole time of doing it, has really been the antidote to that, because my thinking often and my over-intellectualization of things really has been something to overcome. Although it's a strength I have, and it's a, you know, there's a way to use that in a very wonderful way. It's also been a bit of an Achilles heel that has prevented me from sometimes, you know, being in a more centered space, a more heart-centered space. So painting has really been the way that I've accessed that. And it is a flow state, you know, it is an active state. So I guess that sort of makes sense.
Can you describe what that feels like for you when you are in that flow?
Well, I mean, I would say any artist, and I, again, would define that very broadly. So it doesn't have to be painting. It doesn't have to be writing. It could be anything that one does, gardening. I mean, whatever it is, that where you can really lose yourself in it. It could be construction. It could be, you know, writing a business plan. Do you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't, I think we have to be careful that we understand that creativity doesn't mean the arts. It can mean anything that is for you, something where you can kind of lose yourself in it. So that's where the boundaries get more diffuse, maybe, is a way of thinking about it. So I I would say that for me, it's this sense of really losing myself in it, almost like I'm just not as aware of myself. And so, or maybe my personality or my ego, you know, it's like moving beyond that.
Does that feel almost as if it is a form of release of burden of weight? Because I would imagine as a pediatric psychiatric nurse, you are so on point and present for every one of those moments with patients that going into that artistic moment gives you a release of all that. Am I close at all?
Yeah, no, I think that's absolutely true. I think it's a way to refill. I think it's a way to refill the, because there's a lot of output. You know, I find in my work, and I'm just going to clarify one thing. It's a small point, but just so your listeners aren't confused, I'm a nurse practitioner. So that means I prescribe medicine as well as, but it's a little bit different. There are nurses that don't do that. So just to clarify, but
thank you.
So when I'm sitting with people, there's a lot of science that's happening. There's a lot of intellect that's involved in decision-making that has to happen. And there's also a real art to the work, I think, when you do it well. And I'm not saying that I do it well. I attempt to do it well. Some days I do it well, and some days I do it less well, right? But when I'm doing it well, I'm in the art of that work too. And, but that doesn't fill me as much as I feel like I'm an instrument that's being used by others. And that can be depleting at times. So I have ways that I've learned to refill the well, so to speak. Painting is one of them. Writing is one of them. Sometimes I write about my work, and that actually is kind of a fun way of connecting to the work in a way that helps me to remember why I'm doing it and what's meaningful about it. So I don't remember what your question was. But.
That's okay, because we're going on to the next one. On your blog, you mentioned that, I'm going to quote you, my love. You mentioned that quote, "The engagement with different art forms keeps me interested and in evolution." Will you elaborate on that?
Sure. Yeah. So I mentioned I do some different kinds of painting, watercolor, acrylics. I also really enjoy photography. I write poetry. I do some prose and some more long form fiction. And I think, how do I want to say it? I think I'm a growth-oriented person, and the only way I've known to move beyond the places where I've been stuck in my life is to try to see beyond what I've known and try to recreate what I've known. And it doesn't mean, you know, oh, that thing that happened to me didn't really happen, or that traumatic thing was really fantastic. You know, it's not redefining that way and recreating reality in some sort of fantasy way. Like, now we're just on clouds with unicorns and it's all great. You know, I don't mean that. That works for some people. That wouldn't work for me. I mean more like transforming energy. I mean more like taking what has been and thinking about playing with it to create something new. Using the series of challenges, the combination of challenging things in life, and thinking about how to turn that into a gift. So, for example, in a very practical way, one of the things that I think makes me good at my day job is that I have spent a lot of time and energy in my life thinking about how to overcome painful things. And so I would say that every painful thing I've been through in my life, in a way, has allowed me to have a gift to give to other people. Mm. Now, that doesn't mean I wish I had those things happen. Although, again, it becomes kind of a silly conversation. I'm happy with where I am now, so maybe I'm fine with those things having happened. You know, you can't go back. But the point is not to spend a lot of time in regret. It's to think about how those things can be used for growth and evolution. And in my case, it's important to me to think about also how I can inspire or offer gifts to other people in that, because that's sort of paying it forward or sharing the love or something. I don't know.
I agree. I love that. Seeing the gift at a later time, because as we're walking through that hellacious part of pain and going through that process and integrating the lessons and all that, it's not until sometime later that we're able to see the gift in it. And I think that we almost do a disservice to folks when we don't allow them to kind of feel what they need to feel. Would you agree?
Absolutely, absolutely. And actually, a lot of my professional work is about, you know, it's a funny job to have when, you know, people come to you to take away their pain. And actually, what I aim to do more than anything is to help them understand that they can hold their pain and move beyond it. It's not actually about getting rid of it. It's about learning to put it in a different place. I don't know if I said that well, but it's, you know, everything that happens to us. And again, I don't wish for more painful things. I'm not going like, hey, universe, give me some more pain to work with here. You know, we can also learn through joy, right?
I keep saying, hey, universe, I from here on, I'm learning all my lessons through joy.
Yeah, and hey, I raised my hand for that. You know, at the same time, and this is that sort of evolution piece and the growth piece, is we may use what we've been handed, and that's that creative piece, is how you can take whatever the experiences are and transform them to something useful for your own growth and evolution. And then again, hopefully for others too.
Do you see in your practice, in the work that you do, as your, let's say, quote unquote, day job, do you see a place or time when you're able to recommend more creative art forms as part of that evolution process for, say, some of your patients?
I do, absolutely. You know, some people don't see themselves as creative beings. And so there's a bit of it's never useful for somebody to say, well, you know, why don't you pick up a paintbrush, when they're like, I'm not interested in that. So I don't force that kind of thing. But I do, you know, I'm very strengths-based oriented. And so I'm always wanting to hear from people about what their challenges are, why they're coming to see me in the first place, right? But I'm also wanting to hear what they like to do, you know, what things they engage in that make them feel different than that the rest of the time when they feel so terrible. And to think about, can I encourage them to build with that? For some people, I mean, I had this one person tell me, I mean, some of the things would shock you. Because from the outside, and this is what one of the things I love about the work, but also people, is, you know, you look at somebody from the outside and you make all kinds of assumptions about what they might be into. And then once you get them to trust you enough to really be willing to share, and sometimes people say these incredibly surprising things. I mean, like teenage boys saying, like, secretly, I'd really like to be making stained glass.
Really?
You know, I did that once with my grandma, and I really, you know, something about it just felt really you know, I just liked it so much, but it's weird. I'm like a boy, I'm 17. I'm not supposed to want to be, you know? And so it's like, when they say that to me, it's like, are you kidding me? You need to be making stained glass.
Exactly, because they did. In that moment, they probably tapped into that flow. You know, that releasing of themselves and all the other external stuff just to be in the motion of creativity. And it feels so good.
Yeah. And again, just to go back to it, it doesn't have to be a traditional art. You know, it could be anything. It could be, you know, I've got a kid who loves collecting baseball cards. You know, he can go back and forth. He's like reorganizing them. He loses himself in that. Great. You know, I mean, we don't need to judge that that's not anything. It's for him something that gets him to that place. So I think that is one of the parallel goals that I have in working with people is, where are your wellsprings? Where can you draw from, you know, to refill your own well and to, as an antidote to all this other challenge that you have?
So when you're working with young folks, do you find that it really does help for them to tap into some memory of earlier childhood to recall maybe even what that's like or how to find that well of creativity or fun or joy?
Yeah, different people come, you know, in different places. So sometimes the place to find that is in childhood. You know, it's actually a really good question. I have my own version of this for myself where I sometimes am struck by discovered evidence of something that's been in me for so long that I didn't even know about, that I just rediscovered, kind of thing.
Right.
And so, you know, so those things that like, yeah, before life got in the way, what did you want to do? Yeah, so working with young people, they're there. You know, so it's a little bit less distance than like for you or me where, you know, I mean, this is tangential, but I think it's kind of a fun story. We've been packing up our house over the last year because we're planning to downsize and move. And so there are a lot of, you know, old things, memories, boxes of things of, and I don't have a lot of memory of my childhood, actually. I don't have a lot of memory, you know, I have certain things. And I don't think of myself as an artist at all. I was not an artistic kid. I was not somebody who took art classes where the teacher said, oh, you have real talent. You know, nobody ever was like, wasn't part of my world. And I found a picture of myself as, you know, probably 8 years old making a watercolor painting. And so it was like, you know, like this is my first, you know, picture of myself as a watercolorist. And so that was kind of fun. And what was interesting about it is I posted that on Facebook and my stepsister, my older stepsister, who, you know, was a product of my dad's remarriage, said, oh yeah, you were always doing crafty things. I have no memory of that.
Really?
No memory of that. But the other thing I found in all that was this is like so goofy, but my college application essay I found, you know, and I was like, oh, what's this? What did I even write about? I wrote about the blend of art and science and being a creator. I mean, you know, so I was 17 when I wrote this.
Oh my gosh. So it's been in there all this time.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay, listeners, this is where we have to wrap it up for today. I hope you'll return Thursday for the rest of my interview with Amanda Riley Sayer. I hope you enjoyed today's co-creative listening experience. Please remember to leave a comment about the single greatest takeaway for you today. You know, that one thing you will remember from this day forward. Was it something funny or provocative? Was it just what you needed to hear? Please share so we can all benefit. And remember to return Tuesdays and Thursdays to accept your gifts, the 22-minute podcast for inspiring your most creative life.